Start a new sugya today, Mirtz Hashem, and that's the sugya of Vestos. I don't expect to complete it in one session. It'll probably take us a month or two. It's really one of the major sugyas, and we're basically talking about a sugya here in two places. One is on Daf Tes Vav, and one is on Tes Zayin. So the page I gave you is Tes Zayin, and that's where we're going to start. The sugya on Tes Vav, even though it's earlier in the Masechta, but I think logically it should come later. So the first thing we want to mention to you is that the Gemara quotes Rav Nachman, and that's not on your page. This is just general background. Rav Nachman vacillates back and forth whether Vestos are Doraisa or Darabana, which means a woman sees 3 months in a row consecutively on a certain day. And the Gemara is going to even go into greater detail. She sees on a certain part of the day, because every day is broken up into two onos. There's the onus yom and the onus laila. And according to one day, you could even pin the vest down to a shah. So for example, she may see a chatzos laila. You mind if I could show you just to move this away here, because I can't see your beautiful face here. What's that? That's sugar over there?
This is brown sugar.
Oh, brown sugar. Daniel, I have a page for you here if you're interested. Okay. So now we have the following discussion. Let's take a vote. I mean, just curiosity. If a woman sees 3 months in a row consecutively on the same day, would you say that that's a doraisa or drabanan, meaning should we assume henceforth that you'll see on that same day, say in the fourth month? What would you like?
Question: if it's doraisa, what would it be based on?
Oh, so what would it be based on if it's doraisa? I claim it's doraisa. In other words, obviously the Gemara is going to disagree with me, but I'm saying just intuitively, I would have said it's doraisa. So if you were here for the Bava Kamma Shiurim that we had, there's something called a Shor HaMu'ad. And a Shor HaMu'ad is no gaff 3 times. And the Gemara says that you can even have a Shor HaMu'ad liyamin, which means we can anticipate on which day the Shor is going to be no gaff. And the reason for that is the Torah has a halacha called what? Chazaka. When something repeats itself over and over again, 3 times at least, according to one sheet of Rebbe, it's even 2 times, then that creates an assumption on our part of a pattern. So this woman sees Dam in 3 months consecutively on the same day, she establishes a pattern. That's called Vestos Doraisa.
But still, the Torah is clear that you're coming only when you have blood, not when you have a presumption of blood. So it's because of Suffolk Doraisa Mechomer that we were saying?
So the Gemara says on Daf Gimel, that's not our sugi for today, that the Dam comes out. In other words, the Beis HaRechem doesn't hold up the Dam. And the question is, where is the Dam? If the Torah is telling me Vestos Doraisa, where is the Dam, you know, on that fourth month? And the answer is that the Dam fell on the karka somehow, v'nevat, and it got lost. Again, I'm not going into the issue that we discussed 2 weeks ago about Hargosha. I mean, did she have Hargosha? Did she not have Hargosha? If she had Hargosha, so I don't need Vestos Doraisa. If she didn't have Argosha, then L'chora, the Torah wasn't Metameha, because Bipsora, Achatargish Bipsora, she needs Argosha. But leaving that as a separate issue, which ultimately is going to, you know, is going to overlap on our sugya today, the fact that she didn't find Dam on the fourth month, if Yod Vestos Doraisa, might not be a proof that she has broken out of her vest. You know, she has undermined her vest. It might be, as the Gemara says, that the Dam came out and she doesn't find it. It got lost somewhere. That's if Yod Vestos Doraisa. Now, Vestos Doraisa has 2 parts to it. Number one, as we discussed before, Yechiel, do I assume that she definitely saw in the fourth month? Where's the Dam? It got lost. But it also has another implication. And that's before the day of her vest. In anticipation of her vest, we have something called Prisha Samach Levest. And that's a sugya Masechta Yevamos. It's not our sugya for today. On Daf Samach Gimel. And the Gemara goes back and forth as to whether or not a person is allowed to have relations with his wife when her vest comes around. And the Gemara wants to say, at least that's the way Rashi understands the Gemara, that if he's going out on a trip or he returns from a trip and there's a separate mitzvah of ona, so then we're going to overlook the halacha of vest and we're going to allow them to have a relationship. I mean, all the Rishonim have a problem with that, Rashi, because how can you tell me vestos to rice and we anticipate that she'll have a dam, and then to allow tashmish at that time and just tell me, well, he's going out on a business trip and therefore he has to remember his wife, you know, there's a mitzvah of ona. That doesn't cut the mustard. A mitzvah owner is not going to undermine an Isser Nid, an Isser Karis, the Raisa. And not only that, the plot gets thicker because the Gemara in Yevamos actually quotes a pasuk, Vizharetem es Bnei Yisrael, to derive the halacha of Prisha Samach Levest. Fine. So again, so just to summarize what we've said so far, the first opinion in the Gemara, and Rav Nachman vacillates, but he has this as his first opinion, Vestos Doraisa, was suggesting that Vestos Doraisa is predicated on a chazakah, and that chazakah will impact in two different directions. Number one, post facto, meaning I assume after her day of vest passed that she saw Adam, but she didn't find it. Adam Nevad, as the Gemara calls it. And number two, in anticipation of her vest, we have halacha prisha samach levest. That's called vestos torais. The Gemara uses a very interesting phrase to describe this chazaka, that if she saw three times on the same day, that she'll anticipate that she'll see on that calendar date on the fourth time, the fourth month. So let's say she sees every Rosh Chodesh, so she'll see Rosh Chodesh in the fourth month. And the Gemara calls it Orach Bizmano Ba. Now, the Orach Kadoshim is the cycle. Bizmano Ba. It will come in its time. And she's already set up Bizman. I saw something very interesting. They quote the Sefer HaOruch, because you know there's no punctuation in the Gemara. And I told you that Aleph Vav Reish Ches means Orach, Miloshen Orach Kadoshim, which is a pasuk in Chumash. The Orach wants to suggest that you punctuate it differently, and it's Oreach Bizmano Ba. But look, that's not the accepted view, so I'm going to try to be makpid to say Oreach Bizmano Ba. But you should know that if a Talmud comes into your yeshiva and he says to you Oreach Bizmano Ba, you don't have to throw him out of the base medrash. You know, Yeshal Vilisma. Now we get to the Man D'Yoma who says Vestos D'Rabbanan. And that's fascinating because that means that this Orach Bizmano Ba is put on the side, on the back burners, and the Torah is not going to recognize Orach Bizmano Ba. Which might mean, and some of the Achronim say this, the Chazon Ish is famous for saying that there are so many factors and variables that go in to whether a woman will see Dam or won't see Dam. You know, it could be that if she's besimcha, you know, one thing happens. If she jumps, another thing happens. And then a woman might be mesulek is damim during certain periods of time because she became pregnant. There's so many variables that impact on whether she's going to see at a certain time that therefore this chazak is not reliable. The Torah doesn't recognize this chazakah. It becomes, shall we say, a chazakah ruyah lishtanos, if you're familiar with that. With that phrase, you know, it's always changing, it's always in flux. And therefore, there's no chazok of Orach Bizmano Ba according to this Man D'Yomar. But nevertheless, Vestos D'Rabbanan. So what we have to answer is the following question. What does Vestos D'Rabbanan mean? You know, Bishlam, if I hold Vestos D'Oraisa, okay, the Torah recognizes the chazok of Orach Bizmano Ba. A, we can assume she saw Adam if the day of the vest passed. B, we can anticipate that she will see Adam before the vest. And everything is crystal clear. The Torah relies on chazakas and Orach Bizmano Ba. But if I hold Vestos D'Rabbanan, so l'chora, that's a little bit of an ambiguous kind of twilight zone. You know, there's no clarity here, because if you're telling me Vestos Lav D'Oraisa, so then there is no halacha vest if the Torah doesn't recognize it. It sounds like the Rabbanan are creating something according to this Man D'Yomar called a vest, and it's reliable, And we have to see exactly what that means. Because what's nafkimina? If you're telling me that midrabanan, according to this man, we accept vestos, then I'm back to square one, then the halachas don't change. You know, the kids, what I'm asking you is to keep one question front, you know, in the front of your minds. What's the nafkamina between vestos to oraisa, vestos to rabbanan? If you would have told me the rabbanan don't recognize vestos at all, nicha, but you're telling me no, but rabbanan, there is such a thing as a vest. So then, doesn't it come back full swing to vestos to oraisa? And lest you think that it's nafkamina l'gabi karban chatos, if let's say, for example, a man would have relations with his wife at the time of her vest, and lo and behold, she says, I had a re'iyah. That's called ro'a dam machmas tashmish. So does he have to bring a karma chatas? You know, he can't claim that he's a totally innocent guy. What do you mean you're an innocent guy? I mean, you knew it was Shas Vesta. It's at least a shogeg, and therefore you should be chayv chatas. So that's not really accurate, and I'll tell you why. Because in the case of Ro'a Dam Machmas Tashmish, it could very well be that even if I hold Vestos to Rabbanon, he's Chayav HaChatmas. And that's a Sugya Daf Yud Ches, which is not for us now, but basically the Gemara says that even if I hold Vestos to Rabbanon, nevertheless, he's not an Onus. You know, we have three categories as far as Karma Chatas is concerned. There are two categories out of the three where you don't bring a Karma Chatas. That's on one extreme, the Onus. And the other extreme is called a mezid. Those two people did not have, you know, they can't take advantage of a karma chatas. And right down the middle, we have something called the shogeg. Okay, it's not mediocre, though. And the shogeg means that, you know, he should have realized that there's a possibility that she might see dam. And the Gemara assumes that even if it's Tos Rabbanon, he is guilty of not taking that into consideration. So that's fascinating. And we have to come back to that as well. So again, we're looking for an afkamina, whether vestos to rice or vestos to rabban. So that's going to be our sugya for today.
Why not just any suffix?
Maybe she doesn't know when a vest is.
Well, the maisu after the fact. At the end of the day, we're saying that in stomach she had it.
Oh, excellent. What happens if a vest passed? And we don't know whether she saw it or not. So if I'm going to say vestos to oraisa, which means the Torah recognizes the viability of this chazok orech bizmano bon, then bizmano bon, the orech came bizmano. You didn't find the dam, so as we said before, the dam went leave. Then the question of hagosh, as we mentioned before. But if I say vestos to rabbanon, maybe vestos to rabbanon means he's got to anticipate beforehand that she's going to have a vest, she's going to have a re'ah at that time, but post facto, if her vest passed, to say that orech bizmano bar, therefore the dam must have gone le'ibud, maybe that far we won't go. So that's exactly our sugya today. It's called the sugya of Rav and Shmuel. So let's go through the Gemara inside. The Gemara says the following: Itmar, and you should have that on as the first source on your page. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. Itma. Isha sheyesh la vest, vigia shas vesto velo bodka. Now this is interesting. Velo bodka. Please underline those two words. Highlight those two words, because velo bodka seems to imply that what? What should she have done? A bdika. It's almost as if this Itmar is addressing a kind of bidievit situation. We should never have gotten into this situation. She should have made a bidika. And that bidika would have clarified whether she saw dam or she didn't see dam. But she didn't make the bidika. Ulabasov. Bodka. Now, the word labasov means after a certain period of time. Let's assume that if we... As I mentioned earlier, if we take a day and we divide it into two parts, there's Yom and Laila, there's Onus Yom and Onus Laila. Let's say that her vest is Laila, right? So the Laila passed, she did not make a Bedika, and she made a Bedika by Yom, the following morning. That would be a Bedika Lebasof. Lebasof meaning after Shas Vesta, is Omar Rav, Bodka Umatzah Tmeya, if she made a Bedika, and she found Dam on the Bedika, then we assume that when did that daven come? Do you follow my question here? This is not a rhetorical question. I'm trying to evoke a response here. What I mean to ask is the following. She waited until the morning. Her vest was last night. She checked herself in the morning, and lo and behold, she finds daven. When did that daven come? At the time of her vest, meaning the night before. That's called lemafreya. Now, lemafreya is very relevant for taros, because what we're going to assume is, according to Rav, that when she makes that bedika and she finds herself tmeya, not only is she tmeya mikan olahava from now on, which is obviously a pressing that's relevant to her relationship with her husband, labayla, but also we have a question of lemafreya because last night she was osek betaros, and now we have to assume that, those taros are tmeyos. However, tahora, what if she now does the bedika? Now, meaning after the Shas Vesta passed, and she finds that there's no da, says Rav Tahora. What's the Chiddush of Rav? I mean, obviously, if she finds Tahora, she's Tahora. And Shmuel, in a minute, is going to say no. Even though she finds herself Tahora, she's Tmeya. So what's the Chiddush of Rav? And why does Shmuel think that she's Tmeya?
Because she had a Vesta.
She had a vest, but why is she seeing nothing on the 8th? The answer is the daven came out, and where did it go? Ava. Okay, so Rav is saying that we don't assume that Ross or daven bisman vest of v'nevad, v'nevad adam. Rav says no, we don't assume so. Ushmuel amar afilu bodko matzah tahora. Nami tmeya. We still declare her to be tmeya. Why? Mipnei sha'orach bismano ba. That her cycle, right, comes in its time. I'm just curious to see if he quotes the Orach. I just want, give me a second. This is for my own curiosity. So actually, this I didn't know. The Aruch brings down two ways of punctuating the Aleph Vav Resh Ches. I didn't know he brings down both. He says that the Nikud is Orach with a Pasach under the Resh, because that's referring to her cycle, her vest. Or he has an alternative shot that you put a Tzere under the Resh, Orach. Pirish, and he interprets it, Shadam Boli Eis Kavua Ka Orach Shabab Isman Kavua. No, see, we call it a bed bias. You know, let's say you have a guest that comes, I don't know, every Rosh Chodesh she comes to you. I don't want to say every Friday night, because that's rare, but yeah, it could be every Friday night.
But that would certainly imply, I mean, if you said that maybe the Aruch has an afkamim between those two things, a Reach would never come Meduah for the minute every time he comes. But yet we're saying, if Rav's saying, or if the Machlokes is in the morning I saw it, I'm assuming that it came the night before, that means within the 24-hour period. I'm actually medayik on the minute, like you said before, the shows, and not just on the 24-hour period, that today's the same day as last night, so I'm coming from today, not from last night.
So if it's Orach, then maybe we could put it down.
To the shows. So if it's Orach,
okay.
Be medayik to
good
the
point. He doesn't have enough community, he just mentions the two interpretations. So Rabosai, look at the next line of the Gemara, because this is really what we've been vying for. Lema. Now, whenever you see the lema, you can always anticipate that at the end of the sentence is going to come komiflegi, lema bir, etc., etc., komiflegi, meaning the attempt of lema is to try to come up with a yesod haplukta. What are they really arguing about? Now, this Rav says that if she makes a bedika, we can assume that she's tahora. Shmuel says, even though you found her and the results of the bedika were that she's tahora, nevertheless she's tmeya. Says the Gemara, lema bevestos kam miflegi. They're arguing about the status of vestos. The marisa, according to Shmuel, vestos are what? The oraisa. Which means that the Torah recognizes this chazaka of Orech Bismanam Ba. And where's the dam? The dam got lost. Umarsav, but Rav is of the opinion, Dirabanan. So how far did the Rabbanan go? The Rabbanan wanted A, require a bedik of a shas vest. And that's a nice thing to require. Number two, it could be that now he, the husband, has to anticipate beforehand that she will see dam b'shas vesta, and if he's chayiv in prisha, samach levesta. But to go as far as to say that after her vest passed, she saw dam, that far the rabbanan didn't go. Why? Because they, the rabbanan, did not recognize the chazok of orach b'zman habah. She found herself today to be tahara. We assume that her vest changed or something happened, and again there are so many different reasons why she didn't see dam, but there's no reason to assume that she definitely saw dam. So now we could swing back to our original question: what's the nafkamina between vestos d'oraisa or vestos d'rabbanon? The nafkamina is if she passed the shas vesta and she didn't see dam, do we say she's tmei or not? Rav says she's tahora. Why? Because vestos d'rabbanon. Shmuel says she's tmei because vestos d'oraisa. We have to add one little proviso over here. Even when Rav says that she is tahora, that's only because she did a bedika and she found herself to be tahora. Rav agrees that if she did a bedika and found herself to be tmeya, then she's tmeya l'mafreya from the shas vesta. So that far Rav didn't go, even though vestos d'rabbanon. Amar Rav Zera, the svara is that since she saw a dam now, it must be that this is the dam from the vest. Meaning, the vest itself, in and of itself, is not proof positive that she saw a dam. But the vest and then a vados that she saw a dam, that tells me that that dam came b'shas vest. Amar Rav Zera, the kuli alma vestos d'oraisa. Rav Zera wants to insist that even Rav agrees that vestos are d'oraisa. Kan shebodka atzma kishir vest, v'kan shelo bodka atzma kishir vest. Okay, that's in the second paragraph of your Mar Makomos page. And what Rav Zera wants to say is that basically Rav and Shmuel are not arguing with each other. They're talking about two different scenarios. In Rav's frame of reference, she made the bedika after the shear of vest, right? After a certain amount of time. And therefore we have every reason to assume that she... Just one second, let me go over this one more time. Kan shebodka atzma bishir vest. Correct? So Rav is talking about a case where she was bodekes atzma b'shir vest, meaning at the time of her vest. Let's say if her vest is within the night period of time, we'll call it the 12 hours of Lila, and she made a bedika during the night period and she didn't find dam. So Rav holds that apparently that proves, that bedika establishes, that she did not see dam during her vest. Had she seen dam during a vest, then definitely she would have found the dam on this bedika. Shmuel, on the other hand, is talking about kan shelo bodka atzma kishir vest. In other words, the time of her vest passed, and therefore, if she makes a bedika lachar zman with choshesh, we assume that she saw a dam b'shas vest and the dam got lost. So basically, according to Rav Zera, there is no machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. The only issue is, when did she make the bedika? If she made, and kuliyamalopli, if she made the bedika b'shas vest and she finds herself to be tahora, then we must assume that in this case she didn't see any dam b'shas vest. That's what the bedika establishes. If on the other hand a shas vest passed, the bedika doesn't have the power to establish that she didn't see b'shas vest, because we're going to assume orach b'zman habah vestos d'oraisa, and the dam just got lost.
So why does Shmuel require that she's bodik at all? What does the bedika even accomplish? You're gonna make your tummy no matter what, and it's done the oraisa level, and it's tummy from last night. So what's the point?
No, again, Shmuel agrees that if she does the bedika b'shas vest and she's tahora, she's allowed to have relations with her husband. Okay. So I wouldn't assume that the bedika is meaningless.
I'm saying afterwards.
You're asking the following question: if the vest passed and she didn't see dam, what's the point of the bedika? Correct. The bedika doesn't really help anything. According to this sugya of Rav Zera, the bedika is meaningful only b'shas vest. The bedika after shas vest, mimarashach. If she sees herself to be tmeya, so she's tmeya. But then she would have been tmeya even if she didn't see any dam. So Yisrael, you want to say something?
No. So this is only the whole shaila is only according to Rav, to see how Rav is a maker. even in Diraisa, controversy.
Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Omar, just to finish the Gemara, Bevestos Gufayu Kamifki. No, there is a machlokus, and the machlokus is about Vestos. De Mar Sover Vestos Toraisa, Mar Sover Vestos Dirabon. So basically, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok comes back to what we originally suggested, the Lema, if you remember the Gemara's Lema, and that's the way Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok has it.
What does
he say? Well, he's disagreeing with Reb Zeir. In other words, before we suggested it, so to speak, in an anonymous sort of way, Reb Zeir said, "Man, you don't have to go that way." And now the Gemara is saying that Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok didn't want to accept that. So it comes out that according to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, in the framework of Rav Vestos Drabonon, if she does a bedika after the vest and she finds herself to be tahora, then she's tahora. According to Shmuel, even if she finds herself to be Tahora, she's still Tmeya because the Chazok of Orech Bizman of Bo, that's called Vestos Do'orais. Now Rabbo say, how do we pask it? This I find fascinating, because I would have thought that if we're dealing with an issue on a Do'oraisa level, we might be tempted to say Halacha L'chumra, you know, we should be machmir and we should paskin the Vestos Do'oraisa, and especially in the light of Reb Zeira, who insists that everybody holds Vestos Do'oraisa. So before we look in Shulchan Aruch, I just want to point out to you that there's a Tosus here, Dibra Maskevar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, and he writes, Nire da halacha de Vestos Do'rabbana. Why? Da Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak hu basra ve'islei de la Rav Vestos d'Rabbanan u'beperek yesh b'char pasak k'rab bi'isure. So we have two different rules that govern a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. One rule says that halacha k'shmuel b'mon, b'dini mominus. The other rule says halacha k'rav b'isur v'heta b'isurim. Since the issue of Vestos is clearly an issue of Isurim, we're going to paskin like Rav. And Rav holds Vestos to Rabbanan. Now, how do you know if Rav holds Vestos to Rabbanan? After Rav Zeir said that even Rav agrees Vestos to Doraisa. But the answer is Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. And Yechiel, I think this also strengthens what we were answering your question from before. What did Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, why do we bother with Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak? We already had his thesis in an anonymous form. The answer is La'alach al-Maisa. It's very important for us to know that Rav is of the opinion that Vestos d'Rabbanan, and we can only know that from Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, because once Rav Zeri came on the scene and he held that even Rav agrees Vestos d'Oraisa, then we're going to be hard pressed to pass him like Rav Vestos d'Rabbanan, because even Rav agrees Vestos d'Oraisa. But now that we have Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak and he has a special status because he's a Basra. Now, I'm not sure what Basra means. Either historically he's a Basra, maybe because the Gemara, you know, Ravina Ravashi organized it that he should be mentioned after Rav Zeira. I don't know. That's more for the scientific study of Talmud. I don't know. Maybe he points out something. But be that as it may, Tosus says that Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak is a Basra, and he identifies Rav as holding that Vestos Dirabon. Just 1 second, I'm just curious to see if he tells you here in the back whether Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak was actually later than Rav Zeir. You don't mind if I take a little break for this, do you, Rav Osai?
No.
I shouldn't waste your time on Erev Yom Kippur here, but I'm just curious if he says anything. Just 1 second, Tez Zion. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, he says Basra Kuf Ayin Aleph. Okay, so listen to what he says in the footnote. First of all, he tells you to look in Bav Basra Ben Vav Amid Beis. So I don't know if Yechiel, you have a chance to do that. It's Tosus Di Ramaskel Sholach Le on Ben Vav Amid Beis. But then he writes Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Hoya Talmido Shel Rava V'Rav Zera Hayadar Kodem Rava. So he understands it historically. So it comes out like this: Rava is sandwiched in between two generations. The older generation was Rav Zera came before Rava, and the younger generation after Rava was the generation of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So clearly, from Rav Zera to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, two generations of Amoraim. So therefore, Tosa says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is a Basra, we paskin halacha ke Basra. Now, why we paskin halacha ke Basra is another question unto itself. You know, it's a little bit of an insult to the elders. You know, why not paskin like the, you know, this Canaan who had more wisdom? Why are we paskin like the younger light over here, these young whippersnappers? You know, but that's how it is. So Tosfos in many places says that the Basra, they heard all the arguments of the previous generations, and therefore they were in a very superior position to make a final commitment and determine Allah. Fine. Now, at the end of this Tosfos, he says, Hilkach, this is about four lines up from the end of the Tosfos, since we paskin that Vestos ad-Rabbonon, Isha sheyesh lo vest, v'lo bodka b'shas vesta, v'achkach bodka u'matzasa tahora, tahora l'bayla. Everybody see that? So let's just review this. This is really a recap of everything we did today. She passed her vest. She did not make a bedikah b'shas vest. She made a bedikah subsequently. She found herself to be tahora, and she therefore is tahora. We don't assume that she saw Dominic got lost. Umiu nira d'lechatchila tzricha livdok b'shas vest. That if she did everything perfectly, she would have made a bedikah b'shas vest. Then that's interesting. It means that even if I hold vestos to Rabbanon, I still would like to clarify in a perfect sort of way, so, well, again, semi-perfect or close to perfect, that she didn't have a vest. She didn't see Dom during at a vest. I can't achieve that proximate perfect determination by waiting till the next day, because if I wait till the next day, I still have to consider that logical possibility that maybe she saw Dom during a vest and it got lost, which is indeed the position of Shmuel, Vestos do Raisa and Chazaka Orech Bismanoba. So the best of all possibilities, says Tosfos, is to require her to make a bedikah b'shas vest,
even though it's
through Rabbanan, in order to clarify beyond the shadow of a doubt, kaviyachol, that she didn't have dam during a vest. If you wait until tomorrow, and kol shekein, if you wait a few more days, you have a very logical possibility that maybe she saw dam at her vest and it got lost. So we don't want to play games here. We're going to require a bedikah lechatchila. Now, Rabosai, from the fact that Tosfos adds the word lechatchila, right? Umiya nir de lechatchila tzricha bedika. What does that obviously imply? That be the evidence, okay? In other words, we're not going to punish her, and we're not going to penalize her, and say, well, you know, you can't resume relations with your husband because you didn't make the bedika on time. B'shas vest. No. We're going to ask her and prod her and encourage her to make the bedikah of b'shas vest. If she didn't do so, and she made the bedikah the next day, and she found herself to be tahora, then we pass him like Rav, Vestos to Rabbanon, and she is tahora. And that's it. So now let's see if the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins like Tosfos. So what you're looking at is Kuf Pei Dalet Sif Tes. And that should be, I think, on the bottom of your page 1. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. Good. So the truth is, I wanted to read this to you from the Shulchan Aruch itself, but I couldn't find that particular volume of the Shulchan Aruch. And I'll show you what it looks like in case you see it. It should be around somewhere.
The bound volume is the wrong one.
Yeah, this is the wrong volume, but it's the right set. And this is called the Friedman Shulchan Aruch. And for me, the Friedman Shulchan Aruch is it. It's holy of holies. It's just mind-boggling what they did over here. The whole kitchen sink is here. You name it, and it's here. But not only that, they just organized it beautifully. So again, I don't get any commission for this, but if you have to buy, you know, if your son-in-law or your grandson-in-law, whatever it might be, a Shulchan Aruch, get him the Friedman.
Oh, you have it?
Thank you very much. Great. Okay. I didn't climb up on a chair. This, by the way, since we're learning the laws of Bedikah, this touches on the first Mishnah in Pesachim, that you have to climb up on a chair when you do
Bedikah.
So here I have the Shulchan Aruch, because I like to see it inside. And what do we say? It's Kupei Dal, but what number?
Tess.
Okay, Sif Tess. Fine. Okay. Now, there are a number of Si'ifim, obviously, before Sif Tess, and they deal with how to establish a vest, and there's certain women who don't have a vest, and then there's something called a Stam vest, which is Shloshim Yom. Obviously, we're going to want to get into all these details, but just to set the framework for whether Vestosa, Doraisa, or Drabanan, after he lists the women who don't have a vest, he says, Sharnoshim, who do have a vest, is Trichos Bedika Kishiagia HaVest. Good. So far, so good, as we say. He's quoting the Sheet of Tosis, that we require lechatchila a bedika b'shas vest. But that's not our main question. Our main question is, if she didn't implement the bedika b'shas vest, then she waited a day or half a day, whatever it might be, or a week for that matter. She did a bedika and she finds herself to be tahora. Says the Shulchan Aruch, avar ha-vest v'lo bodka v'lo hergisha is tahora below bedika. Now this is interesting. Not only does the Shulchan Aruch at this point codify the halach of Rav, that vestos terabbanon, which means if a vest passed, she didn't do a bedika, nevertheless, she remains tahora. He even goes as far as to say below bedika, which means not only did she, we say in Hebrew, fisfisa, you know, not only did she mess up on the bedika b'shas vesta, he fisfisa filu b'bedika le'achar's man vesta, nevertheless she's tahora. So again, vestos d'rabbanon means first and foremost that she has to do a bedika b'shas vest. Number two, we suggested earlier that we have to prove in the Gemara Yevamos that even if vestos d'rabbanon, he has to be poreish b'shas vesta. Okay, he has to anticipate. But if this vesta passed, then she's tahora. Now, if the Shulchan Aruch would have quit while he's ahead, that's it. I'd be very happy. He just simply codified in the Tosis, as we saw. We passed like Rav Nachman Yitzchak, who identifies Rav as holding vestos derabbanan, and
Rav never said that you don't without bedika. He only said
if you right. I'm just saying, but at least it Lekula, I'm saying he's going further than Rav. And that would have been fine. I would have been a happy camper. But then he writes, V'yesh Omrim, okay, and this gets me nervous, Yesh Omrim, Sha'asura Ad She'tivdok. Which means that the requirement of Bedika, and I'm talking not only B'shas Vesta, but I'm talking even Li'achar Vesta, is an absolute requirement in order to be Matir Ha. This sounds very similar to Shmuel. You know, that Shmuel is going to say that you've got to convince, again, it's more cooler than Shmuel, because Shmuel would say, even if she found herself to be Torah, it's not going to help because Hadam Neva. But what I mean to say is that it seems that there's so much emphasis and thrust or weight on this requirement of Bedika, that if she doesn't fulfill the requirement of Bedika and establish beyond shadow of a doubt that the vest came and went without the guest showing up, then we have to be metameher. Now, Rabosai, do you know, I'm just asking general information, when the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, when the Shulchan Aruch brings a first opinion, without naming it, it's called Stamon, and then he brings the Yesh Omrim, do you know how he Paskins? There's a rule of thumb. Like the first opinion. So that calms me down a little bit, because all the Poskim assume Vestos Rabbanon. Like Tosis. And that's in the Rush, I shouldn't say all the poskim, but you'll always find, you know, one machmir here and there. And you'll see in this article that Yechiel was very kind enough to print out that there, you know, there is a far flung shita somewhere, you know, tucked away in I don't know where, who says that Ves Tosto writes. But we poskim Ves Tosto Rabbanan. So that's the good news for today. The bad news for today is that the Shulchan Aruch in the Yesh Omrim is claiming that if she, that Ves Tosto Rabbanan is only going to help me if she passed the Shas Fest, if she made a bedik at some point. Without that, so the first day in Shulchan Aruch, and that's the good news because the Shulchan Aruch is adopting the first day, that requires a bedik al chatchila. It's a requirement, it's a mitzvah, I don't know what you want to call it, it's a chovas gavra, that she has to make this bedika, but we're not saying that the process of Tara is going to be withheld unless she does the bedika. In the second day, we're saying that we didn't just require a bedika, but we went a major step further. We said that she's tmeah until she does the bedika.
Even if she hasn't done the bedika, the shas vesta.
Let me read it again. He says, "Yesh omrim she asura ad she tiftok." Oh, you mean she? What happened? She made a bedika b'shas vesta.
No. This momachme position. Yesh omrim ad she tiftok. Le'achazman, or that she
right
actually,
at some
that,
point.
I'm afraid she had done the bedikah b'shas vesta.
No. If she did
le'achazman, it's not shmur.
Wait, Daniel. I'm going to answer the question, a question that you're not asking. Mm. But I just want to make sure that things are clear. If she made a bedikah b'shas vesta and she found herself to be tahora, kuliyavol pliga that she's material. Here she didn't make a bedikah b'shas vesta. Comes along the Yesh Omrim and says, wait a minute, she didn't make a bedikah b'shas vesta. She has to make a bedikah now. That's okay. But then he says, if she didn't make a bedika now, she's a surah labayla. That's going pretty far.
Rav wouldn't agree with that.
I don't think so.
Right. After Shazved, that's the achaz man. Even Rav would expect her to make a bedika.
You know, I agree that we expected to make a bedika. But again, if I'm a dyke in Tosus says that miu nira l'chatchila tzricha livdok. Okay, he's talking b'shas
vest.
He's talking b'shas vest.
Yeah.
But again, we're going even step further.
I haven't seen any writer that Rav, you can interpret Rav to mean that after b'shas vest you don't have to do b'dik to be mitire. I don't see anything here.
No, what I'm saying is the following, that
I think Shulchan
that in the first day in Shulchan Aruch, he says the following. Let's read it again. He says, Shara Noshim Tzrichos B'dika K'shegia Ves. Ora Ves below Bodka, right, is Tahora below B'dika. Again, I skipped a few words and you can fill that in if you think it's going to make a difference. I was just skipping those words just because I wanted to make a point. I wasn't trying to fool you. But I'm just saying the punchline in the first day in the Shulchan Aruch is that if her vest passed and she didn't make a bedika, then she's tahora, below bedika. Now again, you might disagree with the Shulchan Aruch if you like, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes a Yesh Omrim that says you must have that bedika to clarify that her vest passed without Riyas Dam. But you have to admit that in the first day, he's mekel, again she didn't do it the right way, but he's mekel b'dieved without a bedika.
But who's he somach? Based on what? Where's the Shulchan get it from? I haven't seen anything.
So that's going to be the Rambam, actually. Because, you know, the Shulchan Aruch has the following rules. That if you have Tosfos against both the Rif and the Rambam, that's two against one. And if both the Rambam and the Rif hold that if she didn't make a bedika, she's muteres. Now I'll tell you the truth. We're going to see the Rambam later on. It's unbelievable. The Rambam is going to say, listen to this. A man leaves his wife before a vest, goes on a trip, comes back in the middle of the night. Again, I hate to say this, but it's in the Rambam, so I can't be embarrassed about it. He comes back in the middle of the night, and her vest has passed. He's allowed to have relations with her, even if she's sleeping. Again, that's not the nicest thing to do, but do you follow my point?
He doesn't have to ask her another
one. He doesn't have to ask her. Why? Because the vest passed. Now, some want to say that the Rambam means that 7 days after the vest, that's okay, because the assumption is she went to mikvah. But, you know, then you get into different sticky issues in Hilchos Nida. But that's not the pashtus in the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't seem to add that clause that 7 days passed. So it means, according to the Rambam Shita, that this whole business about a woman past her vest, that we assume that she had dam, that's all lachatchila kind of thing, and it could be the Rambam doesn't even require a bedikah, meaning the Shulchan Aruch writes that he gia her vest, right? Is trichas bedikah kshe he gia her vest? I'm not even sure if the Rambam goes that far. I mean, again, I don't want to prejudice you. We're going to have to see the Rambam inside. But I think, Yechiel, what you said before should now be put right front stage here, because the vest passed. So what are you going to tell me? The Yesh Hashem say you need a bedikah. What's exactly the point of that? Because you pointed out before, if the whole issue is that she saw Dabasha's vest and it went li'ibud, so what do you clarify with this Padika? It really doesn't help very much. You know, I can understand that insofar as we anticipate that she will have Dabasha's vest, require a Padika Bashas vest, and now you achieve certainty, she did the Padika, everything is wonderful. So there's no doubt. But, you know, once the vest passed, we're holding vestos to Rabbanon, we're not insisting Orach Bismano Ba, the Torah doesn't recognize that Chazaka. So she's assumed to be Tahora. If she's assumed to be Tahora, what are you going to tell me? Well, do a B'dika. What's the B'dika meant to accomplish? To make you certain? Give you a good feeling? Doesn't give me a good feeling. Because the whole problem was, and that's what Shmuel was arguing, that's why Shmuel says that even if you did a bedikah afterwards and she finds herself to be Torah, it's not going to help you, because she definitely saw Fashas vest. Where's the dam? The dam went li'ibud. So what is the bedikah going to tell you? Maybe again, you know, I know what you're thinking. You know, maybe it cuts down possibilities or whatever. But that's all. You know, Monday morning quarterback. That's just looking for the cheap way out. You know, so. But fundamentally, the Rambam is saying that I could justify the requirement of B'dika B'shas Vest. That's going to certainly want to calm us down, because we do assume Vestos de Rabbanon. But once the vest passed, if she's still Tahora, so what's the B'dika going to do for you? So the Shulchan Aruch seems to assume Sharna Shulchan's B'dika B'shas Vest, or a vest below Bodka. And I think maybe what he means by velo bodka is b'shas vest, right? Velo ergisha is tahora below bedika. Maybe he really reads the Rambam in that way, that after the b'shas vest passed, there's no point to the bedika. So what I'd like to do is just to quickly summarize a few points in this handout I have for you, just one second, from the Moreshet Moshe. So if you could help me with this, Sammy, it's one page and one page. Some of them came out on a large page, but it's not relevant. Meaning,
thank you.
Okay. So again, we're not going to read. Don't get nervous. We're not going to read through this entire text, but I'm going to sort of give you a summary, and then there's one paragraph that I want to get to, which is the punchline. So you should have pages Kuf Tes Vav until Kuf Yud Zayin, am I correct? Or at least until Kuf Yud Zayin, maybe even more. Do you have that? It should be Simon Lev. Yes, yes, no, maybe?
I have the first page.
Okay. So what page is this?
That's the first page.
Kuf Tes Vav. That's good. And then you might have Kuf Tes Zayin as well. Okay. So he says the following. Again, if anybody wants to see it inside, I'm up to the second paragraph. La'alacha, he says, he gives you a list that's long for the Yiddish Golos, as we say, and all the Rishonim Pasuk Vestos Derabon. Then he digs up a Shari Dura. Okay, I wouldn't say it's classic, and even the Shari Dura doesn't hold this way, but he quotes Yesh Miravasa, so some of the Rebbeim, or one of the Rebbeim of the Shari Dura, held that we pass Kinvestos Doreis. Okay then? Fine. Now he tells us the following. What does this mean, Vestos de Rabbanan? Okay, why are Vestos de Rabbanan? So the most important of all the Shitos will appear in a paragraph on the left called Ulam Rashi. Do you see such a paragraph? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I underlined a few lines here, but I didn't photocopy mine because it comes out so much better from the HebrewBooks.org. I mean, it's even larger than my print. This man has unbelievable squiot, I'm telling you. I never met him. You know him, Daniel? Zvi Reisman. It's unbelievable. He's got thousands of sfarim online, and he doesn't charge a nickel. You can just simply print out freely. He encourages you. Print out all these sfarim. He has an unbelievable collection, I was told, of sfarim that are out of print, ancient sfarim, and he puts them all online.
I'm told that it's actually financed by Friedberg from Toronto.
Oh, really? Oh, that could be. I thought it's his baby, Tzvi Reisman. Then he has another site, which you know I quote very often, called Olamot.net. That's also Tzvi Reisman. So I don't know where Friedberg comes in. But in any event, in this paragraph, Ulam, he says that according to Rashi, Rashi says, with regard to Vestos de Rabbanon, lo misafkinen lo betuma. In other words, Chachamim hitzrichua livdok. Chachamim required a bedika, but lo misafkinen lo betuma. That's how far we go when we say Vestos de Rabbanon. Mashma shechachamim hitzrichu lasos maisa bedika, ach lo timu es ha'isha misafrik. So there's the good news and the bad news. The bad news is that even if I hold Vestos de Rabbanon, there's some element of Safeg, which, you know, how should I say, a doubt arises in my mind that maybe she saw Adam during the Vest. That's the bad news in the sense that that would leave me L'chumra, and therefore, as we discussed earlier, Poresh, he has to be Poresh Samach L'Vest. The good news is, though, Lo Timu Es Ha'isha Misafeg. That even though we have this serious suffix, nevertheless we're not going to be metameha. V'lachem, and therefore, afilu im lo bodka, eino tmeya. And herein, I think he has the key to unlock the mystery of what we saw the first day in the Shulchan Aruch, that although it's a good thing to have the bedika, but if the vest passes, she's tahora. And the reason for that is because we're not going to be metameha misafik. This sounds to me, and again, this is just my own two cents here, like Cheskas Tara. You can't take a woman who has a Cheskas Tara, despite the vest, despite the fact that there's a real bona fide suffix that maybe she saw, you can't be Metameha.
Oh, I'm saying that when the Shas vest came, then we are Metameha Misafik, but when it's over, it's my vest, and we're Metameha again Misafik?
No, I wanted to say like this, that when we're anticipating the Shas vest, we have to assume that she's going to see. And that's the Chumra of Safik Tuma, which even the Rabbanon accept. They check that off. But if you're talking post-Vesta, then we're not going to be Metameha post-Vesta.
So but Lamais, we're talking about she has a status of Tmeya Misafik during, right before Shas Vest, and that she loses that status of Tmeya after
Shas Vest. Well, I'm a little... This may sound pedantic. I'm getting very... very particular, very, I wouldn't say, I just don't want to go as far as to say that when we anticipate her vest, she's Tmeir, I mean, or Cheskas Tmeir. What we're saying is that there's enough of a suffix that she will see to generate the din of Prisha before the vest. Now you're asking, what's her status if the vest passes? That's already a whole different story. And now we're going to assume that she didn't see during her vest. That's called Vestos de Rabbanan. Will we require a bedika? Maybe yes, maybe no. The impression you get here from Rashi is that there's no requirement of bedika if the vest passed. The impression you get from the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch is that there's no requirement of a bedika after the vest.
It's not for me what I'm saying, though, forgive me. That if he was not parish from his wife right before Shas Vest, and the Maisa afterwards there was no blood, and she passed through still nothing. If you say that we didn't time her, just she should have been parched, there was no Avera anyway, because it was Borah the Inya before that there was nothing wrong.
Well, again, you know, the Avera might be because since we anticipate the serious, I don't want to say probability, but strong possibility that you'll see now, he's not guiltless. You know, I don't know exactly what punishment will give him, but the halacha requires him to anticipate the da. Now, I'll tell you where Yechiel, we would get very stiff with him, very harsh with him, if let's say during the bia she says, I have da, I feel a da coming out. And sure enough, she was rolling down Dach's pash. Here, he can't say, well, I'm an onus. After all, I had no reason to assume that you were going to see Dam. The answer is no, my friend. You're not an onus. You're a shogig. And a shogig means an element of guilt and negligence. Right? Even though in Al-Khaitz that will say tomorrow night, it says Al-Khait, or tomorrow afternoon, about 24 hours from now, we're going to say Al-Khait shekatosil fedecha ba'onus. But that nusach is shalokil chosma. Now, I'm not changing the nusach, don't get me wrong. I have a whole drush on what the Bala nusach meant when he said Al-Khait shekatosil fedecha ba'onus. But technically, it should have said Al Chetshech Atosil Fanecha Bein B'Shogeg Ubein B'Mezin. If you look at the first Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says that you have to do tshuva, bring a karbon for Chatoim B'Shogeg and Chatoim B'Mezin. He doesn't mention onus, so the Al Chetshech Atosil Fanecha B'Onus is a little bit problematic. But that's for a drasha. Yisrael, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the Prisha has nothing to do with Tumah. It's just it's a precaution.
The Torah says you have to take that precaution. You have to anticipate that she will have Dam during her.
Okay, I appreciate that, but I know we have times in Halacha where we say that a later fact is Mavara, the status beforehand.
Not when it comes to Shogig. You can't change a Shogig L'Mafreya. Yeah. In other words, he was history justified him. It turns out that she didn't see Dam, and that we can assume she's Tahora. But he's still guilty. The Lamafrey can't. You know, I'm just saying in terms of the Chatos. You know, that's what I'm saying. The Gemara is going to establish on Daf Yud Ches that Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish B'Shas Vesta is Kuli Amalo Pliv Ischayev Ischayev Chatos. Even if I will Vesta is the Rabbanan. Okay. Now what I want to get to is on Kuf Yud Zayin. Now, do we have that photocopy? Where is it? There's so many pages. Yeah, I apologize.
Here.
Is this Kuf Yud Zayin there?
Yeah.
Oh, you do have Kuf Yud Zayin. Great. Excellent.
Okay.
Now, Kuf Yud Zayin on the left column, on the bottom, he has what's called a Chavas Das. Does anybody here know who authored the Chavas Das? Just curious. He's more famous for his work on Choshen Mishpat, which is a classic, which is called the Nesivus. His name was Rav Yaakov Milisa. He came from a city called Lisa. Not to be confused with my father's town, which was called Plisa. Rav Volkin, Zechor Levracha, the Skanar, used to call my father Plisa Ili. That's the son of the Skanar, I should say. Yeah. Called my father Plisa Ili. I don't know what it took to be the Eli of Plisa, because my father said there were only 70 Jewish families in all of Plisa. So how many were in his class, you know, when he was 12 years old before he left Plisa? But anyway, so Rav Yaakov was the gadol of Lisa, and he's famous for the Nesivus, who's the Bar Plukta of the Ktzos. But on Yoredeya, he wrote another work, which I think is equally great, but for some reason it fell into the shadows of his Nesivus, and that's called the Chavas Das. So in order to appreciate the Chavas Das, what we want to do is summarize three shitos on Vestos de Rabbanon that are outlined here on page Kuf Yud Zayin. The first shita, which you'll see right under the heading Geder Din Vestos Derabbanon, you have that? Mm-hmm. That first shita, which is the shita Sarajba, the Rashba says Isha Sheishla Vest V'Igia Eis Vestival of Bodka Asura Achetivdok V'Timtzatar. Rabbosai, Who says like the Rashba? That's the Yesh Omrim. So the Yesh Omrim in the Shulchan Aruch should be identified with the Rashba. And it means that not only did the Chachomim Vestos Rabbanon anticipate that she'll see, but even post facto, they assume that she saw. Unless she made a bedik. The only thing that can save her is a bedik. Again, according to Shmuel, even the bedik is not going to save her. Then we have the second Shita. The second Shita is that the Rabbanon instituted a Chovas Bedika. Okay, but really, technically, she has a cheskas tahara. But we have a principle in halacha that ain't somchen al chazaka b'makom the efshel levarer. And this is based on a sugyan psochim. The Gemara talks about a socher and a maskir, and the question is, did the maskir do bedika, and therefore the renter is potter from bedika? And the Gemara says that, if possible, the socher should call up the maskir on the telephone and ask him, did he do bedika or not? Aye, the chazaka is that a chaver, a reliable person, does what he has to do. But the answer is, b'makom shef shalavarer. So, for example, if Yisrael, if you give me, you know, you put on my table here some fruits and vegetables, so I should ask you, what you mafresh? Truth is, that if I didn't ask you, or if I can't ask you, then I can assume you're a chaver. You're not going to give me tevel to eat, chas v'shalom. But in any event, b'makom she'ef shalavarer mevarerina. Rashi at the beginning of Ksuvah says that's why we have to get the Baal into Bezdin. Because if he found the Pesach Pasuach, we're going to send out a call, and maybe Aiden will come and testify whether she had bia, tahtov, etc. b'ratzon. Even though, at the end of the day, we're going to be matir ha-midin sveksvek. But since it's efshel levarer, says the Ran in explaining Rashi, you have to be mavar. So let's say a person would come from Yehupitzvilt and start shechting animals. So the halacha is, we can assume rov mitzuyin etzel shchita mumchin him, but nevertheless, if he's omei b'faneinu, if he's here, we have to test him, we have to, you know, ask him for his documents, his kabbalah, that he's a shochet ubodeh. Correct? That's called b'makom she'ef shalavarer mevarina v'lo samchinen achazaka. But however, hachazaka is clearly a cheskas tahara. And therefore, if she did not do the bedika, which she should have done, then with someich on the cheskas tahara against the Rashba, and this second shita he identifies with the Magen Avram, with the Chachmas Adam, and they somehow want to wiggle this into other Rishonim, and that's number two. Number three is that the Rabbanon were misakin a chiyuv b'dika bi'alma, and basically it's only a chiyuv b'dika. It's not really a chashash. We don't really have a serious doubt that she saw dam during her vest, but just, you know, if possible, let her do the bedika. So he wants to say the following. According to the opinion that imlo bodka asura, that's the first opinion, the Rashba's opinion, it means that Rabbanon choshashu l'tuma, that the Rabbanon really think that we have a serious suspicion that she saw that. Now, according to the second opinion, on the other hand, it's not a serious chashash. We really have a chazok that she didn't see dam, despite the vest. But nevertheless, we have a principle called kol hecha d'yafshel avar mevarinan, and therefore we do the bedika. What about the third opinion? The third opinion that really doesn't require a bedika at all. I mean, maybe as a chiyuv of some sort, do a bedika. And he says the following. This is on the bottom right. He says that according to this third opinion, the chiyuv b'dika is not a birur. We don't need a birur. We can assume that she doesn't see dam, that she didn't see dam. But rather, it's a chiyuv b'dika ba'alma on the top left, she'itilu ala gafra. Whatever that means, we'll see as we go along. So this b'dika is really not meaningful. Why not? Again, in the third opinion. So the Ran explains, and that's the paragraph that starts Bahashta, And this is the sheet of the Rif and the Rambam. She'ein to'eles b'bdika li'achar vest. When we talk about this chovas gavra to do a b'dika, that's only b'shas vest. But if a vest passed and she didn't do a b'dika, then there is no chovas b'dika. Why? Mishum shabdika mo'ilo levarir shelo higi adam ka'es. The only thing you can clarify and establish through a b'dika is that now she doesn't have dam. The b'dika will not clarify that she didn't see dam yesterday. And if you put that together with the previous paragraph, next to the third line from the end, if you want to know whether she saw dam yesterday, then the answer is maybe she did, and the dam got lost. And therefore, the Ran says that the B'dika after Shas Vesta is not going to really clarify anything for you. There's no time, there's no logical reason to be Masakin Achiv B'dika, because maybe the dam was there and it got lost. The B'dika can only tell you that now she doesn't have a dam. And now we get to the Chavas Das of the Nesivos. So Rabosai, I would, you know, encourage you to look inside here, okay, if you can. I have a summary of the Chavas Das, and I'm going to use my summary of the Chavas Das. It's pretty much identical to what he says here, but I just want to use this opportunity to see if my summary is good. Unless I didn't even bring it into class, which is also quite possible. Give me a second here, sorry. Misplacing things, so it must be here in this room because it's not on my desk. So, second, I'll give it just another second, and if not, we'll just. I have the Chavas Das, but I want to read to you my summary of the Chavas Das. I'm sort of. Too many things on this desk and it's all going to fall out. The Heilige Papier. Okay. So again, Rabbi, so you look inside there if you like. I'm going to just tell you what the Chavas Das has to say. If you read the Shulchan Aruch, says the Chavas Das, and you're careful about it, the Shulchan Aruch says that Kishigia vest, Trichos Bdika Kshigia vest, over a vest velo bodka, velo hirgisha tahura. When the Shulchan Aruch wants to explain why she's tahura, if the vest passed and she didn't do a bdika, he says two things. He says that of our vest, and then he writes, lo bodka velo hirgisha. Now, as I mentioned at the outset, you know, there's a whole other element, a whole other variable that has to calculate into this equation, the fact that she didn't have argosha. So her vest passed, and she didn't have argosha. And the Nesivos is medayik, the Chavas Das medayik in the Lashon and Shulchan Aruch, that the Shulchan Aruch deliberately added these two words, so he says the following. The reason why she's muteres after the vest passed is because we can assume that since she didn't have argosha, she didn't see dam. That's point number one. And this can become very crucial in the presentation of the Chavas Das as we go along. The Chavos Das has the following chakira. Listen carefully, very fascinating. He has such a creative mind. What happens if a woman has established her vest three times consecutively? She sees every Rosh Chodesh, right? Now in the fourth Rosh Chodesh, the vest passed. She didn't make a bedika. Is that makalkel her vest? Can I go as far as to assume that she didn't have a re'iyah on that fourth month, and that would begin to undermine her vest? Again, we're not going into all the details about how you undermine the vest, but let's assume that if she sees three and then five, and she didn't see on the fourth, that her vest is gone. She's broken the vest. Let's just, again, you know, we can't conquer all of Masechta Nida in one setting. Then he has another chakir. He says, what happens if a woman sees on Rosh Chodesh, he doesn't give Rosh Chodesh, but anyway, on Rosh Chodesh of the first month, Rosh Chodesh of the second month, and Rosh Chodesh of the fourth month. What happened on Rosh Chodesh of the third month? The vest passed, and she didn't do a bedika. Can we be mitzaref the re'iyah of the second month with the re'iyah of the fourth month and make it into three? Or do we assume that she didn't see on the third month her raya, the vest passed, and she's muteris labayla? That's how we're paskening, correct? And therefore, you can't be mitzaref the second to the third. Says the Nesivos that even though she didn't have a hargasha when the vest passed, nevertheless, that's not a clear-cut proof, it's not a raya brura, that she didn't see that. And there really is a chashash that she saw dam, and that chashash is chai v'gaya. Therefore, in a case where she has a vest, she's not okeres vesta if on the fourth month she didn't have argosh and the vest passed, nor is the month where the vest passed going to be makalkil, the tziruf, between the second and the fourth month. Again, the premise here of the Chavos Das is that the absence of hargosha is not proof positive that she didn't have a re'iyah. She may have had a re'iyah despite the fact that she has no hargosha, and therefore to break up her vest, that we're not going to do. So now the Chavos Das asks the following question. He says, Tzarech biru, I don't understand. If the vest passes and she doesn't make a bedika, the Shulchan Aruch paskins the first day, and we saw it earlier in the Rif and the Rambam, that she's muteris labayla. If we're saying that there's a real chashash that she saw, and the Ikar Adin, we have to worry about the fact that she saw, and that's why, according to the Siva, she doesn't break up her vest. So the fact that she didn't have argosh is not proof positive that she didn't have a re'iyah. Then why should she be muteres labayla? Ah, you'll ask me the kasha. Well, she didn't see any dam. And if she had a re'iyah, why didn't she see any dam? So he quotes the Gemara that I mentioned on Daf Gimel, that kosle beis arechem lo mukme dam, that if dam came out of her mukar, the lower parts of her womb do not hold the dam back. The dam goes out. And if we didn't see it, we didn't find it, it doesn't mean anything. It got lost somewhere. And therefore, if that be the case, then the fact that she did not have a argosha and she didn't find any dam when the vest passes is not a proof that she didn't have a re'iyah. Because mistama, she had a re'iyah, and that chashash, that serious, how should I say, statistical probability is serious enough to tell me that she saw dam. And now he wants to prove it. How do we know that the fact that she didn't have argosha does not convince me that she didn't have a re'iyah dam? And the answer is because according to Shmuel, who holds that Vestos d'oraisa, she's tmeya. Even if she makes a bedika subsequent to the Vesta and she finds herself Torah, she's tmeya. And why is that? Why not ask Shmuel the following question? After all, she didn't have argosha. The answer is that the absence of argosha does not prove and establish that she didn't have a re'iyah. And now when we swing back to Vestos de Rabbanan, to Rav Shita, we should assume that even if I hold like Rav, there's got to be a very serious consideration that she'll, that when the Vest comes, she has a re'iyah, despite the absence of Hargosha. And therefore, if the Vest passed, she should be Asura Labaila, at least Midrabbanan. Here's where the bomb comes. Says the Nesivus. I keep calling them the Nesivus because that's how I know, but the Chavos Das. There's a concept called trade the Rabbanon. What's trade the Rabbanon in this case? You'll see how it applies here, and you can make it into a klal. He says the following. Vestos are the Rabbanon. Correct? Which means that the assumption that she'll see Dam B'Shas Vest, which according to Shmuel is Doraisa based on Orech B'Zmano Bo, that Chazoka, is only the Rabban. Let's assume, L'chumra, Min Rabbanon, that she did see Dam. She had a Re'iyah. However, she had no Argosha. That itself is the Rabban. Says the deceivers, that's called trade the Rabban. We don't piggyback one Drabbanan on top of another Drabbanan. So first, the very fact that we are seriously suspicious and worried about the fact that she will see Dam B'Shas Vesta, that itself is a Drabbanan. Because we don't accept Shmuel, Vestos, Doraisa, and Chazoka, Orech B'Zmanova. So now you're going to tell me, okay, let me Drabbanan, we should assume that maybe she saw Dam, and she should be Tamei Levaila. The answer is that even if she did see Dam, she didn't have Argosha. If she didn't have Argosha, then the Torah is not Matami that Dam. So it's only Midrabbanan that it's Tami. So now you're piggybacking two Midrabbanans, one on top of the other. That, he says, is Trei Midrabbanan. His language is beautiful. He says, Afilu Rasa, even if I want to say L'chumra, Vestos Midrabbanan, we have to be Machmer and assume she saw Dam, Kevin Shalor Gisha, Havi Re'iyah Midrabbanan, her whole tomb is only Midrabbanan. V'lachein tahora. Okay. But Rabosai, when we're talking about Vestos, meaning, let's go back to the Nesivus original question. She had a vest because she saw three months in a row on that day. Now her vest passes. So we can be Matar Halabaila, says the Nesivus, because of Trade Rabbanon. But if you ask me, did she have a Re'iyah or not? The answer is that the Rabbanon are going to be choshesh that she had a Re'iyah. That's a serious suspicion on our part, statistically. Is Mamela, we're not going to be Oker her vest. In other words, as far as vest is concerned, says the Nesivus, all we need is to know that she had a Re'iyah. Whether that Re'iyah is Metavia Doraisa because it was Argosha or it's not, is irrelevant. You follow? Because the vest is just a question of how her body, mechanically works. And if it works in that mechanics, it doesn't matter whether she had Argosha or not. So therefore, le'inyan shavest ye'oker o yiskalkil kevon to be'etzem yesh chashash re'iyah albeit below argosha chayshinen she'rosa velo nekra vest. And at this point, the Chavos Das brings a proof. The Ramban says that if a woman has a vest kavua, it could only be nakar, she could only undermine and vitiate that vest, if she has bedikos and she finds herself to be tahora. Meaning at the shas vest, if she does a bedika and she finds herself to be tahora, then and only then she could be oker a vest kavur. However, the Ramban seems to imply that if she didn't make a bedika, then we're choshe shema rasa, and therefore lo nakar vesta. So it's fascinating because what we're getting from the Ramban is that Although the Ramban is saying that if she made a bedika, that would be oker vest, but the Ramban is also saying that without a bedika, she's not okeres vest. So why not? Because of this chashash emarasa. So let me just look inside here and see if he more or less has the same presentation. He says, Kaimel Abereish Nida. I have, by the way, the Nesivus here. I have the original. He says, Kaimel Abereish Nida. Kosei Beisarech Lo Mukmi Dami Tam Zeh Lo Boi Bedika Kshaavra Vesta De Aminan Bedika Becharen Ustokim Lomola I Nami Havidam Vadei Kvar Nofali Oretz. It got lost. U Bedika Zu Shuv Havi Kibdika Chadosha Mishum Deshema Rosa Achshav So he's interested in a different dimension of this. Again, it's a long presentation of the Chavistas. He's more interested in using the Chavistas to support his previous position based on the Ran, that this bedika after Shas Vest is meaningless because it's only going to be koveya as far as our situation now. It's not going to tell me anything about the Shas Vest, though, because the assumption is that since the Kosle Rechem don't hold up the Dam went out for Shas Vest, though, and it fell into the Kark. Fine, that's what he's interested in. But what we're interested in is the fundamental principle of the Nesivus, that when a woman passes her vest, there is a real serious chashash that she saw dam. Now, if you'll ask me that, so why she muteris labayla, the shulchanos psak, the answer is because it's trade rabbanon. But if you ask me about whether or not she's mekalkel her vest, the answer is that since we have a serious chashash that she saw dam v'shas vest, albeit without her gosha, therefore it's not okeres. And not Okeres vest. Okay, Rabosai, that's what I have for you for today. I hope you got something out of it, as I did. Gemar Chatima Tova to everyone. Gemar Tzimah Tova. Good Kibbutz Yar. Everyone should be well. Lots of nachas, and we should be zochet to the Gula. This should be the end of all these tragedies. And, yeah.